Shanae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Shanae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Shanae Ogwumike, Jordan Cornette subbing in for Mike Golic Jr., who's on the call tonight. Arkansas State, Appalachian State. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Penzoa Performance Line. We're also here to make sure you guys send us your tweets, reminding you to hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. See what is to look forward to tonight when it comes to Thursday night football between the Giants and the Eagles. We want to know who you think is your key player moving forward and if Wentz can really get the job done in this must-win game. But, you know, in a few minutes, we'll be joined by the writer who followed the Penn State resignation story closely and see if this issue is more widespread than most people think. But for now, let's really dive in, Jordan, because the news is that Pat Chambers, head men's basketball coach at Penn State for 9 seasons, resigned Wednesday following an investigation by Penn State into allegations of inappropriate conduct. Now, back in July, I know you and I both read this story. The Undefeated reported that Rozier Bolton, who transferred from Penn State to Iowa State, Bolton gave an example in which Coach Chambers made a reference to a noose around Bolton's neck. And a review was conducted after these allegations jointly by Penn State's Affirmative Action and Athletics Integrity Offices. And now we just found out that Pat Chambers resigned. How do you feel that Penn State really handled this investigation, Jordan?
Well, today, we both are not fully in the know of everything that's going on. So a lot of this is speculative, and I always hesitate to speculate on something fully. I just go off the interactions I've had with Coach Pat Chambers and games that I've covered of his Penn State team. He's been incredibly respectful to me, a kind, charismatic guy, very fiery and passionate guy. But of course I'm not going to see everything that goes on there. I'm the media. I'm covering his team. He's going to put his best foot forward. In this scenario, though, for what we do know, his interaction with Bolton, which came from a place of what we're led to believe, compassion and care, trying to show the player he was there for, and he used get the noose off of your neck. Did he say it with malice? I wasn't in the room. But I can deduce the fact that he probably did not. However, it shows the ignorance that is permeating in college sports with some of these coaches and their relationships with players. It was completely unbeknownst to Coach Chambers that what he said is inflammatory, is ignorant, and is offensive. And that's the lack of sensitivity training. And you don't get that by sitting in a room with a white psychologist at Penn State that helps you understand how to communicate with your black players. And then going to Bolton, the black player, Chene, and saying, hey, you need to learn how to work with a coach with this personality type. Shame on Penn State for having that approach. This is a scenario where Bolton felt like nobody would listen to him in the era when he was there, which was a year ago. And then the movement began where players, people of color, marginalized groups felt like they could speak up and say things. Then Bolton doubled back to make it clear how he was feeling, and now he's getting that platform. In a lot of ways, today, to me, it feels like it's a little too late for all this, and it should have been handled properly initially with Chambers to correct this, buck a trend, and maybe get this guy acting properly. Because another comment he made was, how many times have you heard this, Chanae, in your life? Chanae's so well-spoken. Jordan is so educated and well-spoken. Like, it's incredible black people can put words together and formulate a sentence.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate that that's where we are, but I think it's an opportunity for everyone to grow. And the crazy thing is that it's usually the players that are forcing the accountability on the system. The players' voices are the ones that matter to create this change. And we are both former college players, and we love here, especially on Chanae Angola Jr., to amplify their voices. Now, Penn State Athletic Director Sandy Barber talked about the player reaction after Pat Chambers announced his resignation.
Our student athletes found out about 4:30 today. Coach Chambers is the one that delivered the news to them. And as you can imagine, it was difficult news for them to hear. Coach Chambers has many current and former players that have been glowing in their praise of him. And, our current players have, many of them have very good relationships with him. And he's the one that has given them this opportunity. And so they are, they're in a little bit of shock, and they're very disappointed.
That's Penn State Athletic Director Sandy Barber here on Chanae Angola Jr., the soundbite talking about the players' reaction to the resignation of head basketball coach at Penn State, Pat Chambers. Now, Jordan, it's really interesting because in my perspective, you know, as an athlete, I have a coach that is tenured, and she's a Hall of Famer, Tara Vanderveer at Stanford University, and she's been amazing. I've always said she's one of the biggest influences that has helped me understand what it means to not only be a professional, because you learn that in college, even though you're not treated like a professional, real talk. And, you know, During this time, one of the best things I think she's ever done for me, besides help, you know, give me a scholarship at Stanford, is that, you know, the last few months have been rough. And she just sent me a text out of the blue, like, checking on you. As, you know, we've seen all this news when it comes to what's happening with the social climate and all that type of stuff. Just that awareness from a coach that I haven't played at Stanford for 6 years. Like, to me, it meant the most. And, you know, she's older, as I said, Hall of Famer, and she's tenured. And I think right now it's a huge opportunity that the coaches that are going to find success are going to educate themselves to their biases before. Do you have that similar experience, you know, now looking at the great divide between the young players and the older coaches and knowing that, hey, this is the moment where I educate myself because what was working 20 or 10 years ago is not working now in 2020.
It's an astute observation and a lived truth for you and me. I mean, that's what this is today. Now, as I work as a broadcaster, far removed now from my playing days, I see it through a different lens. And some of the things I'm exposed to, it's almost like people forget that I'm a person of color, and that would still be offensive saying to me, but they're so casual with it when they're talking to us as media who cover this thing, because they just assume we see these 18 to 22-year-olds the same. There's been times when I've covered teams over these last several years as an analyst showing up in practice, talking to a coach, where they talk about the player like they're trash. They're not human. That they're a second-class citizen, calling them dumb or saying they just don't get it or this guy doesn't belong here or he's an idiot. And it's like, well, what are you doing as a coach? Your job is to educate, instill morality, and help them evolve as people, and, oh, by the way, make them better players. But if you brought somebody into your program that you have no interest or care in and no investment made in them, you're going to do them a disservice every day they step on the floor for the 4 years they're a part of your program. That happens a lot. I hear that a lot. And in this new era, I bet I don't hear it anymore. They'll probably button it up and hide it. All that to say this, there's a ton of great coaches out there that are truly invested in their players, that understand their struggle, that understand their background, that are invested in their familial situation and where they hope to see them go and grow. It's those coaches that can be fiery, can be passionate, can use unsavory language with their player because there's a mutual trust there. I've had coaches in my time coming up at times that have been those type of coaches, but I know they have a respect for me, they have a respect for my race, they are invested in equality and all the good that should come with coaching and humanity. And that's when the buy-in happens. There's plenty of coaches that may have language that's unsavory or maybe approach things aggressively with their player. But I see those players absorb it and embrace it. And it's a mutual respect there because the trust is with the coach. I'm not saying Coach Chambers doesn't have that. But if there's circumstances that have popped up that are like this from Bolton, that becomes a trend that unfortunately Penn State didn't invest the time in to buck that trend, where it started to grow like wildfire. We don't know all the details now, but it was their job to say, uh-uh, talking to a player like that, Coach Chambers, ain't going to fly here, and you better shape up or ship out. They let it go too long, and now they're in this position now where a team that went 21-10 last year today is now in a position with all that momentum coming into this season that ended without the inevitable tournament berth a year ago is without a coach and without direction. And that's shame on Penn State.
Jordan, do you think that this issue is more widespread, yes or no?
Absolutely. It's absolutely widespread. I just think that there is now, hopefully in this new era, a time where players, 18 to 22-year-olds, are being respected as grown adults, not just looked at it as toys and pieces in an offensive or defensive scheme that can continue to pad and line the pockets of these very well-paid coaches. Once you start to look at them as what they are, the next generation, contributing adults with fully formed minds that are difference makers, then that respect grows and this thing changes. Let me tell you, it's very ugly in college sports. I've seen it firsthand as a player, and I've seen it with how I covered it. And maybe Pat Chambers is a great guy. I have no basis to say, and I'm not going to condemn him right now because I don't have everything in front of me. But I do know that there is a problem with the respect from coach to player, and it needs to change.
Well, Jordan, I'm going to ask that same question to our own senior writer who chronicled it all. He shared Rasir Bolton's story, and that's next on Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Today is Thursday, and we've got Thursday night football, and we will tell you what the one thing you need to know before you watch the Eagles and Giants tonight. But first, we want to get straight to the source. Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Chinee Ogwumike, Jordan Cornett. Now, again, Pat Chambers, head men's basketball coach at Penn State for 9 seasons, resigned Wednesday following an investigation by Penn State into allegations of inappropriate conduct. Now it's time to head back to the Shell Pennsylvania Performance Line to talk with Jesse Washington, our own senior writer for The Undefeated, who wrote this piece back in July titled, "The Noose Comment by Penn State Basketball Coach Points to a Larger NCAA Problem." Now, Jesse, thanks for joining us. And what is the larger problem that you outlined?
In the piece, I really examined how too many coaches are ignorant when it comes to matters of racial sensitivity, of diversity, of just the kind of things that you can say to a young black man that are appropriate or inappropriate. It was really surprising, and I think that some of the racial upheavals in this country brought this stuff to light and really emboldened some of these players to speak out and say, hey, look, we're not being treated fairly. And so Pat Chambers, at the time that the story came out in July, was an example of somebody who really was not properly educated in those matters.
Here with Jesse Washington, senior writer for The Undefeated, again talking about Pat Chambers resigning. And how have you seen this story evolve from Rasir Bolton sharing what he said regarding the noose to now sending in the resignation by the head coach?
Right. Well, it started with Rasir, who transferred to Iowa State, telling me that not only did Coach Chambers make a reference to a noose, I want to get that noose around your neck, in a conversation with him, but later, after he met with his parents, he complimented Rasir on how, quote unquote, well-spoken and organized your parents are. And as any black person will tell you, that's just an insult, because it presumes that they're disorganized and can't talk. So after that happened, Penn State started looking more deeply into Coach Chambers' conduct. And a number of allegations came out from former players and assistant coaches. The university was thorough in their investigation, and David Jones of Penn Live and the Harrisburg Patriot News has a good story up about what they talked to players about. And it definitely, there were allegations of more racial insensitivity and tone deafness. And I think it just goes to show right now that after the decades and really the whole history of college athletics, where these primarily white coaches were in absolute charge of primarily black athletes, that this balance is really shifting now. Players are being emboldened to speak out more, and universities are understanding that that is not acceptable. You can't treat people that way. So the Penn State investigation really uncovered a number of allegations, some racial in nature and some not, according to David Jones' reporting. And the sum total of those cost Pat Chambers his job.
Jesse, what was incredibly alarming to me as a black man and a former college basketball player, a former college athlete, was how Penn State handled what Bolton told them. Can you take us through the steps of what Chambers then had to do as an enlightening of sorts, or punishment, a way to try to correct this trend, and also how Bolton was then treated in the program after these allegations came to light?
I'm glad you brought that up, Jordan, because that is alarming. And initially, Penn State pretty much did nothing. According to Bolton and his parents, who I interviewed back in July, they felt that the university really wanted to make it go away. This is because it had come right after another nationally televised incident where Pat Chambers shoved one of his players during a timeout at a game in Ann Arbor versus Michigan. And so a lot of scrutiny was on the program. Pat Chambers was not required to undergo any diversity training. He was given a stern talking to, is what I can gather. And Rasir's mother, Shalandra, asked a great question in our interview. Rasir said, look, I need to talk to somebody about this. This is not okay. This is not good. So they sent him to this counselor and that counselor. And Rasir's mom said, okay, so Rasir had to go do this and learn this and learn that. But what did Pat Chambers learn? When I interviewed him for my piece, and I do give him credit for wanting to talk about it, and he tried to say all the right things, but I don't think that he quite got it yet. And basically, I asked him, Coach, how could you not know? You've been coaching black athletes. And he kept falling back on, well, I've been dealing with black players my whole career. If that is the case, how could you not know that you can't make noose comments to people? How can you not know that it's an insult to say, oh, you're so well-spoken to a black person? He didn't really have an answer for that. One of the things that really showed how Penn State didn't properly address this issue was that shortly after this whole thing came out, and they kept it in-house, so Rossier didn't want to put his whole team on blast. He wanted to basically finish out the season and then check out his options. After George Floyd was killed, the NCAA was having a number of sensitivity and diversity panels, and Pat Chambers was invited to be a panelist on a coach's webinar that was teaching other coaches how to deal with diversity issues. That was really outrageous and was probably the last straw for the Bolton family when they said, look, we got to speak up and do something about this. So even though I think Penn State did the right thing after our article came out at the Undefeated, before that, it seemed like they just wanted it to go away.
Awareness and acknowledgement is so key. Jesse Washington, senior writer for The Undefeated, who wrote the piece about the news comment and has followed this story and the investigation all the way up until today, has joined us here on Chinay and Golic Jr. Now, you know, we're seeing a similar situation really develop in real time at Wichita State with men's basketball coach Greg Marshall. What do you make of that situation? Do you see any differences between the two? What are your overall thoughts on the state of college sports, if they're even having the awareness to know these things can't keep going forward?
I think we're at a watershed moment right now, appropriately so. And, you know, these coaches have been, in some cases, tyrannical with their programs, certainly abusive. And part of it is the culture of sports. I mean, all three of us are athletes here. We've all been screamed at and yelled at. But there's a difference between what's offensive and what's being coached hard. And I think all of us know how we respond to one and how we respond to verbal abuse and irrational behavior. According to David Jones' reporting, there was a lot of verbal abuse at Penn State, which reminds me of what's going on at Wichita State. And, you know, the funny thing is that apparently it was an open secret out there about Greg Marshall for years, and everybody knew that. But athletes have become empowered in this moment. And apparently not only black athletes, who all over the country you see them. For example, at Iowa, they're suing the university now, and they've forced the ouster of several people. Half a dozen programs across the country, big-time programs, have pushed coaches out, had serious reckonings over racial issues. And now it's extending to athletes in general. When you layer in the whole recognition that athletes are, in many cases, being exploited by being denied an opportunity to share in the profits that they generate, then we are at a turning point for college athletics where the athletes are finally going to have the appropriate amount of say and control and respect that they deserve.
A word. Athletes are empowered in this moment. You can follow all the great work that Jesse's doing for the culture on his social at Jesse Washington. Thank you for following this story, Jesse, and bringing these issues to light.
Thanks for bringing me on today. Appreciate it.
Jordan, man, did you like get goosebumps when he said that?
Absolutely, because it's so true. The moment we are in is also another buzzword that he used, a watershed moment. It is absolutely that, and I'm really interested to see. It's going to be a day of reckoning for those coaches who aren't willing to do what they should have been doing from day one. It's going to be exciting to watch these players continue to find their voice and speak out against the wrongs as they see them.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully these players can move forward with positivity and leadership from the top moving forward in the future. And there also is an opportunity for leadership on the field, which will be on display tonight, Thursday night. Coming up next, we will tell you the key to success for the Giants and the Eagles. That's next on Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The energy is raking up. I'm dancing a little bit, Jordan, because we are so much closer to Friday. I'm mad we don't have you on Friday to see you twerk again, but I think it's probably better for our
those people. Twerking days. I don't know. I might have to hang that one up. I got a lot of hate mail.
Oh, you got hate mail?
I.e., my wife just looking at me real dirty when I came home that day.
Like, you held it down, though. I love how you go for it. Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Now, Chinee Ogwumike and Jordan Cornette, in about 10 minutes, we will keep that same energy. I cannot wait. I've been waiting all day for this, to ask Jordan a question that has stumped many people, our own Mina Kimes.
Oh, I'm nervous.
But first, okay, Jordan, you stepped to the pulpit a couple weeks ago in favor of Serena Williams. You stepped to the pulpit today in favor of Mookie Betts. Are you still standing by that?
Yeah, I still stand by it. Mookie Betts is watch how the narrative starts to get pushed, because baseball understands they need this type of name in that type of market, the real Los Angeles, not where the Angels are playing, actually in L.A. with these Dodgers and the tradition the Dodgers hold, especially if the Dodgers win the World Series this year. Mookie Betts becomes the face of the sport, and then people really start talking about, is he maybe better Mike Trout? I know it sounds crazy. Give yourself some time to ease into it. When you look at it in totality, Trout will always be the better hitter, but in other facets of the game, Mookie Betts has not only crept on a come-up, he has surpassed your boy Trout.
Oh, I love it. You lean all the way into it, and you know, I can't wait to see how social responds to that, more importantly. Okay, but I'm looking forward to seeing you step to the pulpit again right here, Thursday night football edition. We will do that again in a segment, I don't know if you remember, called One and Done, where we tell people the one really big thing that's on our hearts and our minds. And we're going to do this for the Eagles fans, for the Giants fans. This is for you. Run it, Cliff.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
Okay, Jordan, I'll start first. Well, today is Thursday, right? You know, it's a Thursday night game. It's a big game. There's no NBA. Remember, we were talking about this sports vortex that we're living in. No World Series tonight. All eyes will be on Thursday night matchup, which a lot of people say, like, but still, I think there are a lot of opportunities here, especially for the quarterbacks. And when you think about these guys, you know, you have to judge these quarterbacks in different ways to grade them. You grade Carson Wentz based on pretty much his team success, right? He's shown brilliance, you know, in 2017 when the Eagles were 11-2 before he tore his ACL. And then after that, though, it's been one long fight to getting back, you know, to that term, that type of, you know, echelon when it comes to wins and losses and production. Now, I went and found this nugget. Ever since then, ever since 2017 in that run, his record as a starter is 15-17-1. Now, you can make a case that, you know, Super Bowls are supposed to cure all things, but it feels like with him in particular, it's worked against his narrative, and he probably feels the pressure of that. Tonight, that can change. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, you've got Daniel Jones, who you pretty much, you know, Carson Wentz, you're grading him on success. You grade Daniel Jones on the failure, you know, the inability to stop the bleeding. Daniel Jones has played in 19 games, and has 25 turnovers, 18 interceptions, 7 lost fumbles. So tonight is an opportunity for those guys to really answer the critics and change the narrative. But I think we both agree that today, Jordan, is a must-win game in your eyes for Carson Wentz, right?
It's a must-win to start to silence those critics after a couple losses here, albeit to elite opponents. But also, as you look at the NFC East, this is an opportunity, a huge one, with a division opponent to get in the win column and to start to make that charge. Remember back last year, an overtime win at Lincoln Financial for the Eagles set them on a run of 4 straight, which ultimately led the Eagles to winning the NFC East. They're going to get some of that same magic here. It's not going to be the same type of record that they end up with from last season. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be a losing record that wins the NFC East. But that losing record, maybe it's 7-9. Maybe it's even 6-10. Who knows? But whatever it is, the Eagles are going to be the team that get it done. Because there's only one way to look at it as you evaluate the NFC East. How bad can it get? And is there any solution in front of them? And I know our boy Junior, before he left to get ready for his college football game, tried to sell us on the Cowboys have the best opportunity. He wasn't a Cincinnati Bengals fan. So he believes that Andy Dalton can be a solution in the backup position. I don't. I know the lights are the brightest. Andy Dalton won't deliver. The lights are always bright in Dallas. That defense is horrible. Maybe you shouldn't have changed your scheme in the middle of a shortened preseason and a pandemic. Cowboys are going to pay there. Maybe you should have hired Mike McCarthy because it ended in a poor manner in Green Bay. Maybe he wasn't the guy. And don't you dare get me started today on Mike Nolan and what he's doing at the coordinator position. No faith in the Cowboys. But I digress. Let's get back to these Eagles. The Eagles are going to get healthy. When they get healthy, they're going to start stockpiling enough wins. They're not going to amass a lot of them. Enough to win in this lowly division. Because Carson Wentz is starting to show an ability to figure things out and become the old Carson Wentz. And he's doing it with no-namers. This team is so depleted, but he's showing a grit. He's showing a toughness. Lane Johnson, his big guy up front, is saying, I want to get healthy, and I want to protect this guy because he is out there fighting every week with nobodies. He's putting up 27 points against a Steelers team. He's putting up 28 points against the Ravens team. He's fighting out there. How's he doing it? I don't know, but he's giving us a chance. This team will slowly start to get healthy. Carson will do enough to keep them in games, and he'll take advantage of opportunities. The Giants, a team that scores 16 points per game, that's the opportunity. Now, that defensive line from the Giants will get after you, but if you watch the Eagles lately, they've been scheming up ways to get their targets open. They've been hurt a little bit by some drops. There is no margin for error when you're a team like the Eagles right now. With much as you're missing and the talent not being there right now because of injuries, you've got to take your swings when you have them. Against the Giants, by the way, Doug Peterson, 5-0 on Thursday nights. That's for you gamblers out there. Get involved. Thursday nights get weird, but this one's not going to be too weird. I like the Eagles to get it done.
Is there? Oh, yes. Welcome him. Yeah. Bless him. Yeah. Now I have a really quick question, though. Is there, like, any real shred of hope out there for Giants fans? I think our producer, Shannon, is a Giants fan, if I'm not wrong. Is there a real shred of hope? Because coming off of a win against the Washington football team, you sort of feel like in those situations it only hurts you because you're trying to stockpile up so you can get a high pick. Like, on our show, we say win never for Trevor, or Mina Kimes says self-abhorrence for Trevor Lawrence. Is there any shred of hope you can find from this situation here for Giants fans?
Have you heard anything about Saquon Barkley coming back early? Because I haven't. And as long as he's not coming back this season, he's your best player. He's your only reason for hope. He can mitigate some of the bad losses you look at this roster. But most clearly, he's not coming back with that ACL injury. Daniel Jones is the only source of any kind of optimism. His development. Is this guy going to be on a faster track than what we've seen? And look, he's not put in a propped up position to succeed. We all get that. But he's got to be evolving a little bit more than he has. You got to lean on his strengths. And right now, the only strengths are, can this franchise quarterback slowly start to show, even in these moments, that he's growing? And is that defensive line enough to wreak a little bit of havoc? Because our offense scores nearly 17 points per game. That's not going to win anything. The Washington football team is not going to be on our schedule every week. We were able to squeak by and get that one win last week. Can we do it again and get some momentum here? They're going to have to score points, and I don't think they're going to do it against the Eagles.
You know, a lot of people were riding high going into Andy Dalton's debut as a starter in Dallas.
Why?
And that's what I want to get to your feelings, though. Like, why were you a little bit more down on him than up like the rest of us out there?
I mean, Andy Dalton on primetime has never delivered in a Bengals uniform. And if you look at this team that he has now, yeah, he's got more weapons. He's got three A.J. Greens out there. But those skill players for Dallas have been the biggest issue of any. Four lost fumbles for Ezekiel Elliott, and the opposition has capitalized with a touchdown on each of them. 15 turnovers up to this point, leading the NFL. Drops from players when you need those type of plays to be executed. And, oh, by the way, the offensive line, hey, look, we get it. You got nobody to block. And Andy Dalton is not going to be an elusive guy that can turn water into wine there. However, I'm not here today for the excuses. Too many teams in this league are battling things that could easily have them laying it up game in and game out. We had Kimberly Martin on. She talked about effort. Have we seen effort from Dallas? You've got players on this Dallas roster that are coming up and saying, you can't give it your all on every play. In the media, they're saying stuff like this. While Carson Wentz is out there fighting against two of the toughest defenses in the league with nobody. I mean, no name brands on that roster. And they're still putting up a combined 57 points versus the Steelers and the Ravens. I just want to see some fight. And until I see some fight and some execution from the guys that make a lot of money, like Ezekiel Elliott, you don't have a chance. And I've also seen Andy Dalton do a little with a lot. And I think that's a fitting theme for him to be right there involved with a Dallas Cowboys team that continues to under-deliver.
Some heavy, heavy Dan Orlovsky-type love for Carson Wentz.
Guys fighting. I just want to see somebody try. I know what it's like to have no talent, Janae. I don't have it, but I go out there and I fight, and I give it my all every week, and that's all you can ask for. And Carson Wentz, he's mightily talented, and he's showing the heart that only Philly grit could appreciate right now.
Absolutely. Plenty of opportunity for Carson Wentz and Daniel Jones to right the ship. But coming up next, another player is getting the opportunity of a lifetime. That's next on Chinay and Golic Jr. But first, a word from DraftKings. There's no better place to get it in on all of the football action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. Download the DraftKings app now and use code CJR. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes. That's code CJR to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. More Chene and Golic Jr. and me speaking words coming up next.
Chene and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Oh, Jordan, it is time for a roll call. Big thanks to Tim Kirchin, our own ESPN MLB analyst, who broke down the bounce-back win by the Rays. We also had Willie Rofe, super exciting, a Pro Football Hall of Famer who likes Antonio Brown joining a roster. And speaking of which, Kimberly Martin joined us, ESPN NFL reporter, who broke down all the roster options for AB. And we had Jesse Washington, senior writer for The Undefeated, who followed, you know, the resignation of Penn State head coach from way back in July. That's Pat Chambers. All joined us today. And you can catch all of our guests on the podcast, Chene and Golic Jr. Chene Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. is off, you know, calling college football. And we've got Jordan Cornette, my side piece here. Hey. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Let me first get us paid. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Side piece, are you more comfortable with that, like, designation?
Yeah, I actually like it. I'm going to embrace it. In 2020, side piece is the new wifey husband, I guess. So I'm going to roll with it.
I never asked you, what are your teams?
I'm a Cincinnati Bengals guy. Oh. I'm a Notre Dame basketball guy. I don't really, to be honest, have a baseball team. Now that I'm on the East Coast, I'm looking to embrace one. So I'm open there.
Okay, good, good. We'll keep that same energy. Cliff, let's get to it.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chene and Golic Jr.
All right, Jordan, this is where we talk about the things we love to see. And two words, and I know Junior loves this because he wants the fits. Jumpman, Jumpman, even though I'm an Adidas person, you know, three-stripe life. I got to keep it chill for this. But Bubba Wallace is getting an amazing opportunity. We talked about him tag-teaming with a GOAT, Michael Jordan, being a part of that new team, especially in NASCAR. But we just discovered that he will race in number 23 for Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin, that NASCAR team. How do you feel about that number, rocking that number?
I love it. Bubba Wallace is single-handedly driving a new wave of fans to the sport with how he's carried himself, how he's been a voice in a sport that so badly needs one. It's been beautiful to see guys rally around him within the sport. There's been a beautiful display of unity in NASCAR. I love that. I also love seeing 23 out there playing for championships. Any sport that you put a 2-3 on, your eyes automatically go to that car. Bubba Wallace, all the energy and attention should go to that guy. It's a perfect marriage. I also love MJ, a guy who spent his entire playing career skirting away from the social issues, leaning into them now, and aligning himself with a guy that means so much to a movement.
I know you're in Bristol, but I'm out here in L.A., and the last guy to rock 23 out here did bring a championship, so I get all that energy. Ooh. Now, this is the question I've been waiting to ask you, Jordan.
Uh-oh.
When does cuffing season start?
Wow, so this is great. And I'm actually going to tell you right now, on ACC Network, one of my very established great friends and great co-hosts, Dallin Cuff, his last name's Cuff. I can't wait to debut the segment, Cuffing Season. I'm still trying to work out the tweaks on this thing. Cuffing season starts right now. It's chilly at night. It's already chilly. Chene, what are you doing on air right now? I know you got a million things to do. I know them DMs. I mean, I know people are all up in them. Isn't it time for cuffing season? No, I'm married, so I can't really get into it.
It absolutely is.
It's right now, isn't it?
It's tough because I'm in LA and things are always warm. But before we go, I have to salute you because Jordan Cornette, you have 201 blocks. You are the all-time leader in block shots at ND Notre Dame. Now, Juwan Durham, currently at Notre Dame, has 129 blocks and is on your heels. Are you nervous, my friend? Because I know you like to sweat. We all do.
He's exploiting the system. I mean, look, I think it's beautiful that the NCAA is granting athletes another year of eligibility. But my man now gets to play this year, maybe pass my record, and clean it up next season with a whole new year of eligibility. I love Juwan Durham. Class act. He's exploiting the system. NCAA needs to rethink this whole thing. It's not fair. I have 201 bucks. Never mind the fact that the great, infinitely better than me, LaFonso Ellis, had 203 seasons, and I surpassed him in four seasons with one. That's beside the point. Juwan Durham should not get five seasons to pass my record. It's all I got. Look at me. I'm chubby. I'm sweaty. I yell all the time. All I've got is that career shot block record. Shanae, please don't take it from me.
My record was gone thanks to Kelsey Plum. That's it for Shanae and Golick Jr. Plus our side piece, Jordan Cornett. Enjoy Thursday night football. Giants, Eagles, must win game. Our friends up next, Spain and Fitz.
Thanks for listening to Shanae and Golick Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.